Greet you tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus again. What a privilege to be together. Indeed it is. When I think of what the brother said there and what Elijah saw in those mountains, that blesses me. In 2019, April the 14th, we can have those same chariots can be in our favor tonight too. Yeah. The scripture says very clearly, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Yeah. Are you rejoicing in that tonight? Yeah. And when we sang this theme song again, you know, there are trials in life that are not easy. There are trials in life that are dark, like Charles Tinley experienced. But you know, tonight, the blessed hope for you and me is that as the songwriter here penned it so well, we shall understand it by and by. There is a day coming, dear people, and I hope that this week I was an encouragement to you, but I also made it very clear, unless you're walking with God, you have nothing to look forward to. In fact, the quote of the evening is, earth is the only hell a Christian will ever know, but the only heaven a non-Christian will ever know. Sometimes you hear the term, this is hell on earth. Well, friends, for those that speak like that, it's not hell on earth. Hell is still to come. This is heaven for them. But praise God tonight that we have a great God that we can call upon that wants to carry us through. The last evening, hard to believe. Yeah. Just want to say we love you. We appreciate those of you who have come every night that sacrifice your time and whatever else to come. To me, I always enjoy preaching when there are people around. You know, in the shower, I don't know, it's not so fulfilling, you know. but yes, to have an audience that is interested in the Word of God. Yeah. What a privilege indeed. The poem, perhaps today the clouds will part asunder and reveal a glory brighter than the sun, and we shall view with transport, joy, and wonder the hope of earth and heaven's beloved one. Perhaps today the world's last taunt shall grieve us, and Satan foil his final dart shall cast, and all our flesh's frailties shall leave us, and disappointment evermore be past. Perhaps today from weary beds of anguish, God's suffering saints shall breathe their final sigh, in glory rise no more on earth to languish, to meet their great deliverer in the sky. Perhaps today the trump of God resounding shall wake the sleepers from their beds of clay, and we, with them, our longed for Lord surrounding, shall see his glorious face. Perhaps today. What a day that will be. And I trust this week as we were together, night after night, that you have gotten a greater longing for that day that is coming. But always keep in mind, if you're not living for the Lord, you're not ready when he comes. And there'll be a parting coming. Yes, there will. But my heart's desire for you tonight is that you can be ready to meet him in the air. What day is it today? Anybody? Anything special about this day? I told you one of the nights that I have a message tonight that fits the day. Yes, you're excellent. That is even more scriptural than what I am thinking of. Yeah. John, do you know what special date is today? Glad to have you here again. You were here, a very faithful brother, here every night. God bless you for that. Anybody, anything specially happened on April the 14th? Yes. Mm-hmm. Title of my message tonight is Going Up or Down. In Psalm 63, a few verses, verse 1 and 2, it says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. This was a heartbeat of David. Oh, he longed to see God. And with these words, he's encouraging any young person here tonight. If you're still outside the fold, you have to realize you're either going up or down. But the psalmist said, I long to early seek thee. Because the earlier you seek him, the scripture says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever you sow, you shall also reap. And many times people think there's not much to reap for. Every person will reap. His grace is sufficient for what you reap then, if you have repented. But tonight my heart's desire is you don't have to reap so much of that bad stuff that you have sown or could sow as time goes on. Jesus talked about the man that went to sow, and he has so many earthly illustrations. He said, there's a man that went out to sow, and he sowed the seed here and there, and some fell on good ground, some didn't fall on good ground. He talked about the shepherd and the sheep and all these things. Tonight, there are many things that are happening, things in this world that are happening. You have tsunamis, you have earthquakes, you have fires, and you have all these things. And we are supposed to learn a lesson from these things that are happening in the world today to remind us that this world is a sinking ship tonight. Yes, it is. This world that we are surrounded with, we may say it's still beautiful in many ways, but we are on a sinking ship that is going down, down. And friends, tonight, have you made your secure? Have you got your life jacket on? Are you in a boat that is able to sail upward? Are you ready for that day? Seek the Lord early in your life. I realize there are many things made about the Titanic, many movies. I say I don't think we need Hollywood to get us spiritualized, dear people. With all the movies and stuff out there, we have a book tonight. And if you want to get spiritual, spend time with the Word of God. We don't need movies to get spiritual, to have ungodly men trying to act out things so that I have a better relationship with God. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. It was 11:40 p.m. on a moonless night in April 14th, 1912, 107 years ago. It was before my time. Remember the date, John? April the 14th? Yes. 1912, 107 years ago, 800 miles from Newfoundland. The Titanic was a boat that the designers and the architects, even by today's standard, was considered a floating city. It was representing all the power and the wealth and the luxury and the arrogance of the day. And I realize they have bigger cruise boats now than that. But for that time, this was the biggest that ever left port. If you would have been on that ship that day, it was the fourth day they were out at sea. And if you would have walked around that ship, you would have heard people say that God cannot even sink this thing. Young ladies and young men, never mock God. God can sink anything that man makes. Man can destroy anything that man makes. Yes, he can. We have a powerful God. Indeed. That was the spirit on that ship for a lot of people. These 2,340 people on board, the grandest of the grand. This was the maiden voyage supposed to be made in record time, already 4 days at sea. And you had men on that ship like John Jacob Astor. He had just left America, I don't know how long before. He divorced, and he married an 18-year-old girl in the States, and he left, had gone to Europe because of the shame that went with that at that time. Back at that time, most people would have called it sin. And it still is, by the way. And he left, had traveled over there, but now he was returning again to his wealth in the U.S. John Astor was in, gambling the hours away in first-class lounges. A man with $150 million to his name. You know, and I would be like the $3 billion and the billions of dollars in our day's standards. There was another man on board by the name of Strauss. He was owner of the Macy department stores, worth $50 million. There was another man on board that was worth $45 million. Ishmael was on board worth $40 million. He was part owner of the ship. This was a wonderful time to see my dreams come true. As we sail on the maiden voyage from Europe to the USA. His wife had on a $250,000 pearl necklace. And you have to remember at that time, a 100-acre farm would have likely gone maybe for $5,000 that time. Do you see the extravagance that was happening on that ship? But the necklace also sank. These men were having a grand time, and many were drunk. Many were riding the elevators up and down. These were adults that were enjoying this elevator because they had never been in an elevator before. And now they could go from one floor down to the next and press a button, and this thing would go on up again, and it brought, I guess, out the second childhood. And these rich people, they were going from one floor to the next. People could go from the bar to the dining room. They could eat and they could drink and they could be merry. And from there they could go to the gym and to the ballrooms and they could dance the night away. Because this was luxury. This was living it up on this floating city heading off for the USA. It was the greatest floating thing man had ever made to extravagance. Its extravagance was unheard of. The most expensive voyage was offered. And for the first class suites, you could cost $4,300, the same almost as a 100-acre farm. And the second class was $2,300. And the third classes, they were underneath in the water, which was more reasonable. As people wined and dined, little did they realize, as the 11:40 that evening approached, that by 2:20 a.m., all the Titanic would be underwater. Nobody had an idea that would be their last trip, and neither do we tonight. This could have been your last car ride going home tonight, dear people. I don't know. It can be. It could be your last church service. I don't know. I'm not bringing fear, but I'm only trying to prepare you for what could happen in a person's life. Maybe you had your last family gathering together with everyone. And the next one, there's someone missing. The word says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Yes, indeed. It is appointed. There's an appointment made for each one of us here tonight. It's an appointment that is set up. I've been to appointments where I came early. I've been to an appointments where I came late, to my shame. This appointment, friends, all of you are going to be on time. All of you are going to be on time. You can have the greatest excuse, and you can blame it on the car, you can blame it on the horse, you can blame it whatever. This appointment, you're going to be on time. Yeah. Exactly on time. And the Lord knows that already tonight. And we don't. And that's how come the scripture says in Amos, prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. Imagine 170 years ago, if we'd all been on that ship, cruising for the USA, would we be ready tonight? Would everyone be ready to go? As the icy waters came around you? Yes, there's an appointment coming that everyone will be on time for. Either it is by death or by the rapture of the church. This ship was 882 feet long, and with her 50,000 horsepower engines, she could go 24 knots per hour. Its anchors alone weighed 15 and a half ton. It had 16 watertight compartments. It had the double bottom steel, and all this spoke of security. An employer on the ship building company said not even God himself could sink the ship. But in Galatians 6:7 it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Be not deceived by anything man makes or does. Be not deceived. Security. We love security. You know, we love when the government protects us in every way. We love when there's money around that we can go to and think, well, we're going to be okay tomorrow and the next day, and we have enough in the food in the freezer for ages to come, and on security, security. Friends, tonight, all of these things is insecure when you face eternity. Yes, indeed. Even in our technology age, these things are nothing to hang on to tonight. In 1912, after the boat went down, there was a cartoon that was in the local paper. It was called, there was a picture of a huge iceberg, and it was called Fact. And beside it, in a little ship, was the Titanic called Theory. Theory says it was unsinkable. The fact was that on April the 15th at 2:20 a.m., it sank. Theory says there were no icebergs. The fact was there were huge icebergs and they were sailing in mushy waters. The fact was the lookout gave repeated warnings, and John Phillips, the captain of the ship, told the Californian after being radioed the sixth time of icebergs, he told him, shut up. The captain thought he knew what he was doing. Theory was that 66,000 ton traveling at 18 knots could cut through anything. The fact was the iceberg ripped a quarter inch wide, 300 foot long gash in the side, and the metal plates buckled in six watertight compartments in the bow began filling up. Today, likewise, theory says nobody will know about my sin. In Numbers 32:22, it says, be sure your sin will find you out. And also the other scriptures, the wages of sin, it's death tonight. If you're serving self, if you're serving the world tonight, if you're serving the devil, what you will get in return for your service is a trip to the Undertaker. All he wants of you is death and to spend eternity in hell. That's all the devil can offer a person. We have all talked to people that said, well, I go to church, you know. I live a clean life. I help the poor, you know. I just gave $10,000 to a local charity. That's theory. The fact is, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Theory says tonight, God is love and would not cast any to hell. The fact is, the rich man in Luke 16, 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. That's fact. Man decides his destiny tonight. You have to make a decision tonight what destiny you want. Because finally there are only two ways. It dwindles down to two ways. Many people think there are many ways. There are only two ways. Heaven or hell. And it's very clear cut. Very clear cut. Theory says God is love and would not cast any to hell, you know. Theory says there is a way out of hell. Purgatory and any false religion out there. You can buy yourself out. No, no. As the tree falleth, so shall it lie. There is no buying anymore. There is no giving many more funds to get you out of the place where you're at. In fact, in Revelation 14, 11, it says, in the smoke of their torment, ascendeth up forever and ever, and have no rest night and day. That talks about the one place. The folly tonight of not being prepared. In number 6 bunker on the boat, there was a fire burning already when they left port. They were trying to get it under control. And the captain didn't want the people to know, for with time they would get it under control. They would get it extinguished. And they did then. But Psalm 51:5 says this. Says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. What does that mean? We're all born with a sin nature tonight, and it wants to smolder in each one of us, and it wants to get out of control and take us and burn us. That's right. John 2. In John 2. John 3. Verse 15 to 17. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Going on to the last verse in the chapter, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And do you still remember what I said that I found in my old Webster's dictionary? It says, believe means to leave and to live. And that's the challenge, to keep living. Are you living tonight? Or haven't you left everything behind? Tonight, this fire will smolder in every person. Every person has that sin nature. And this can only be quenched by the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. But hallelujah. It can be quenched. It can be quenched, I should say. On this huge ship, they had 20 lifeboats with a capacity of 58 people each. And that means 1,160 people could go into the boats. These boats had no provisions in them. Some had the plugs pulled in the bottom of the boat, making them useless. Only 712 people were saved in total. Is it any wonder that the decider of that great ship, in the closing moments of his life on board, went into the smoking room and he looked at a mural on the wall with a caption, "The New World to Come." And he took off his life jacket and laid it to his side, signifying the end of what had been a beautiful dream on the part of the designer, the ship's owner, and the public. The ship was going down. His dreams were vanishing. In Psalm 49, Psalm 49, 1 and 2. Hear this, all ye people at Cornerstone. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor. It means everybody, give ear, give ear. And then we'll all drop down to verse 6 to 12. It says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. How many people, how many children would be bought tonight with money if they could bring them into the fold? Yeah. Money does not buy salvation tonight. Let's read on. None of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious and it seetheth forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption, for he seeth that wise men die. Likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. Tonight, dear people, you can be a wealthy person. You can have the street named after you that you live on. And those things happen. But finally, dear people, when the ship you're on is sinking, those things will be left behind. You cannot take it with you, though you may have had all this prestige in the world. You can have your own personal jet. You can have whatever there is in this life with money. But finally, it never brings satisfaction. You can't use it to buy your neighbor. Wealth or soul, you're going to leave it behind. Verse 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah, like the brother mentioned, Selah tonight, ponder those things, think on those things. That was a blessing to hear the psalmist say that. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, from the power of the water that will take my body down, from the power of whatever is out there. It says you have friends that have gone. You have seen the coffin close. You have seen the coffin lowered. You've seen the ground go on top. And when a person says that God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, yes, hallelujah. We'll understand it by and by then as the writer penned those words. Do you have that faith tonight? Do you have that faith that Jesus Christ, as that trumpet goes forth, that someday all those that are redeemed will rise up to meet him in the air? That is again the message this week of hope to you. To every believer, indeed it is. Now, it is not our wealth or thinking this all will continue forever. Our houses, our lands, our names attached to all this. As we leave this behind, it will not even redeem the next generation that it's given to. We are on a sinking ship tonight. I would love to say, make America great again. You know, like that slogan is. We have other slogans in Canada too. But friends, our countries are not getting any better. But thank God for the privileges we have today in freedom to come together and to worship God. These things will be changing down the road as I see the Word of God. The price of redemption costs the best of heaven and will have to be seen and believed on an individual basis. And that is alone through Jesus Christ tonight that we can be saved. There is no other way to have salvation. No other way but Jesus Christ. Because he is the captain of the ship. In fact, there's a verse in Hebrews 2:10. It says, "For it became him," referring to Jesus, "for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make," excuse me, "to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." The captain is the last man off the ship, if he's an honest captain. Jesus Christ went to the cross, the captain, and he stayed on the cross until he made sure that everybody could have salvation. He was willing to go down with the ship, as it were, so that you and I could have salvation tonight. What a captain. He wasn't afraid to do it, like that one that had that tour ship going around in one of those islands here a number of years ago. He was one of the first ones off. Yeah. Jesus Christ stayed on the cross and he said, "It is finished. I've completed it," and that is what next weekend is all about. The death, the suffering, and the resurrection. That's what our Christian life centers around tonight. Indeed it does. And I hope it does for you. I believe we have more religious people than ever, and also more further away from the truth than ever. The Pharisees in Luke 18, Jesus spoke this parable to them there, and those that trusted in themselves, you know, those that trust in their own Titanic, I won't turn to it. But you have the Pharisees and you have the Republicans. No, it's the Pharisees and the publicans. That's it. Let's not get too political in all this. But yes, they need the Lord too, plus the Democrats and everything in between. Yes. Tonight, do you have a Titanic in your life that your life is surrounded with? Do you put so much time and effort into it that it makes it look to others that the boat you're on is not going to sink? Do you put so much effort into it that they think it looks like you're going to stay here forever? No. You forget. We're a pilgrim and a stranger. We're an ambassador in a foreign country. I'm a foreigner here tonight, but you better be too. Yeah. We are passing through tonight. It may be many things that hinder you. It may be your business. It may be your hobbies. It may be your sports. It may be your cars. It may be your hair. It may be your dress. It may be your houses. Old-fashioned pride will hinder you from glory. In the end, what will these things be when the icy waters are engulfing you? What folly! When the warnings were sounded, they were in iceberg territory, and it went unheeded until they saw one looming up ahead. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profit is there? And sometimes I think we have more, we're more concerned about the profit of what we make than about the children we have, you know. Yeah. Like I mentioned this morning, your children, that better supersede. Like that young boy that said, "Daddy, teach me how to pray." Yeah. Have we time for that? It may be beside your tractor, beside your desk. Are we touching the lives round about us? Now's the time to prepare for eternity. Today, while it is called day, harden not your hearts. Heed the warnings. We're living in enemy, or we're living in iceberg territory. People were enjoying themselves on this ship. For many, they were playing cards, they were gambling, there were drunkenness, there was gluttonness, there was dancing, and 90% of these people were rich. They were rich for their day. In the evening, you could put on your best tuxedos, and that's on a cruise ship every evening. You put on your best suit to go out and dine. That is still the policy on every cruise ship. I was on one going down to the Bahamas sometime. In fact, there a number of us were called to preach on that ship. And yeah, in the evening, you put on your best. And they had forks and spoons and all the way around the table. I didn't know how to eat right, you know, at all. I don't know this etiquette when it comes to 3-4 spoons. When do you use what? Class. And this was just a small boat. These people had on their best. The ladies had on their gowns, you know, stylish. And the call came that the boat is sinking. And many were so engrossed in pleasure, they could not see the seriousness of it. Many laughed at the porter. Others joked about the bulky life jackets. And others refused to put them on because it might dirty my gown or my tuxedo. This is class, friends. Yeah. Others said we'll be only out for a little ride and we'll come right back. Yeah. Today, many people mock at the foolishness of this book. They mock it, they laugh at it, they'll try to undermine it, and many professing Christians say only half of it is true by how they're living. Many books say that Jesus Christ was just an ordinary man. Many different versions say that Joseph and Mary were the parents of Jesus. That's false. Jesus was born from a virgin, not from Joseph. Let's always keep that in mind. That takes faith. That takes faith tonight, and the Bible is still clear. Without faith, you'll never make it to glory. And though through and through, there are many things we still need old-fashioned faith. As the Word says it, I believe it. That hasn't changed. Or there are other versions that say where it says that Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. And other versions say Jesus is a door to the sheepfold. You see the difference? It makes all the difference in the world. Jesus is not a door. Because there can be many then. But Jesus is the door and the only way for eternal life tonight. That must be riveted into our minds. People may say they may put it off. They may procrastinate as the lifeboats pulled away. In fact, the first lifeboat to be lowered were all first-class passengers. And they refused to turn back to pick up others that were drowning, even though they had lots of room. Some boats only had 15 to 20 people on. And there was room for 58. And that brings it down to everyday living again. No love for souls. You know, if I make it, that's all that's needed. Friends, do you love souls? Do you love the people across the street here? Do you love your neighbors to realize that there in each life you see on the street, there's a soul that is heading for only two ways? Are you burdened when you see that these people, these youth in our Mennonite churches don't know the Lord and they're heading towards an eternity and they're lost and then they come to repentance in Jesus Christ? Does that put a burden on us tonight as fathers and mothers afresh again to be called to witness to a lost and dying world that if you want to stay afloat, if you want to look for the upper taker, you have to be ready to go? Many just did not believe that the Titanic would sink. And likewise today, many don't believe they will or could die today and go to hell lost. Yeah. No, life is good. Life is grand. Let's have another drink. Let's party a little bit longer. And the next day again and again and again. Pushing it off to older age, and still not ready. They still another day, another day, another day. And all of a sudden, it's too late. In our area, there were parents went on a boat cruise. And these youth, they weren't from our church. They were from another non-Mennonite church. But the parents were gone, and so a number of youth got together. Yes. You try it. A little bit of the colored stuff, strong drink. Yeah, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Yeah. They went out in the road for youth, hurled into eternity, lost. Yeah. The scripture says if you drink, or even if you give a person drink, you're going to be accountable that day. Yeah. At the end of our road, years ago, there was a car crash. There were four in the vehicle, and a preacher that I know came on the scene first, and he saw those youth pinned in the car, and he said he heard the most awfulest wail, the most awfulest language, you know, as one ebbed into eternity, lost. Amos says, prepare to meet your God. And preparation has to be made before the accident. Preparation has to be made before the boat is sinking. A lot of people say, oh, a lot of, you know, stories you've read already in the past, in the last 2 minutes and stuff, that they thought of grandma, they caught this and that. If you're on a sinking ship, you don't have too much time. Some of these had more time than some would. Many don't have an hour to prepare, minutes to prepare. On that ship was a father and a 12-year-old son. And the rules on the ship are women and children first. That is still the rules of the marine world out there today. And then it says the men, and then the workers on the ship, or the men on the ship, then the ones that are working there, and the last one off is the captain. He makes sure there's nobody else around. And then he steps off and lets it sink. Yeah. However, if there are people on, that's his duty, if he is a man, to stay on board with those and go down with them. This father said, I love my son. I love him dearly, and we'll just, I won't let him go on the lifeboat. We'll just cling together and we'll just cling to each other and go down together. I asked that question tonight. Did that father love his son? No. No, he didn't. Otherwise, he would have wanted life for him. Mm-hmm. Do you get the point? We want our children to have life. Though there may be a parting, but we're willing to put them on that lifeboat and we're willing to say goodbye as we go down. That's love. That's what Christ did for us. I asked the question tonight, do you love your children? Do you love them enough to discipline them the Bible way? Do you want what is best for them in the years to come? Or do you let them enjoy the pleasure and the leisure that's all around them? Do you talk as parents? Or do you as parents walk and talk about the Jesus to them and try at an early age to show there's the loving Savior? There's a captain of the ship, and he'll stay on board until you make it home. Yeah. When there was a hearing in the U.S. on the accident, the captain of a boat only 10 miles away was asked by a senator, didn't you see the ship? He said, oh yes, I saw it in the distance. But I also heard that the Titanic was a fast ship. And when he couldn't see the lower deck, he thought it just moved further and further away. And then they asked him, didn't you see the SOS signal? And he said, no. He shut the receiver off at 11 p.m. and retired. He wanted some sleep. 11:20 was the accident. Today, many don't see the preciousness in souls and just let them drift further and further and further into sin. Many are not awake to hear the calls of the needy because it says many are sickly and many asleep among us. Paul writes that way. And tonight, unless we see the world as a sinking ship and filled with billions of souls that are perishing, we're not going to hear the SOS call. Jesus is Saviors of Sinners, SOS, or Sharing Our Salvation, SOS. As the lifeboats were lowered, John Astor, the richest man on board, the one that had 150 million, tried to escape with his wife into a lifeboat. But the second officer in command said, your wife can go, but you can't. A man with 150 million, and you can't buy your seat in a little dinky lifeboat? We would say money would do anything. What a shock. When he watched the one that he was in adultery with go down in the lifeboat, and he had to wait until the icy waters came around him to face eternity. Eternity lost, and yet have 150 million, billions of dollars in our day. But you can't buy yourself a ticket on a lifeboat. That's how it is too. Friends, if you stare death in the face tonight, nobody can buy, you can't buy your ticket into heaven. But you can come to Jesus Christ who shed that blood freely. You don't need a ticket. Hallelujah, friends, tonight. Praise God for the resurrection that we'll talk about next Sunday. All the money in the world couldn't get him on a lifeboat. A rich American banker got his dog into a lifeboat. Well, 1,522 people perished. Daniel Buckley went back into the suite and donned woman's clothing to get on a lifeboat. Bruce Ishmi part owner of the Titanic and the man responsible for not putting enough lifeboats on, crawled into a lifeboat while hundreds of women were left back on the deck to drown. Tonight, dear people, a person that doesn't know God is a coward when it comes to facing death. Dear sisters, a person, a lady that doesn't know God is a coward when it comes to those final moments, when all you can think of is the money back home and whatever you want to do in life to keep on spending. But the time is coming. One of the queens of England years ago, said, I'd give all my wealth if I could just live a day longer. She was a very rich woman for another day. But the day came when she had to give up. The call came, the appointment came when she dies. All the wealth couldn't push it off another day, and neither will it for us tonight, dear people. What a coward when a person has no hope. Oh, they'll come up to you on the street and they'll do anything, you know, and try to scare you. But you get them to face a God and death. Yeah. They'll a coward. And that reminds me of, there was a Mennonite missionary that was on the Titanic that time. She was Annie Funk. She was 6 years over in India doing mission work. And somehow she got rerouted and she ended up, because she wanted to come home to be with her mother who was very sick. So they thought, the mission board thought, they could get her home the quickest way possible. And this was the ship that was leaving. So she ended up on the Titanic. And she sent a note back to land by the pilot boat to her friends in India. She said, I have to get out a few more gold pieces to pay for the passage on the Titanic, but I gladly did that to get home 6 days earlier. She made it home, but not to her mother. Yeah. A British newspaper reported that she gave up her place in a lifeboat. Wasn't already in the lifeboat, but she gave it up to a woman with children. When Annie's friends heard this report, they said that was her life. Giving. Giving. Was she a coward? Absolutely not. But these rich men did anything to get on a lifeboat, and she went off the lifeboat so another mother and children could be with her together. That's even more than bravery. That's heroism for the Lord, friends. I shouldn't be so emotional. Forgive me. I've cried more here than for a long time, but, well, maybe I'm getting older. John Harper was a young evangelist on board. He was on his way over to Chicago to the Moody Institute. He was going to be, I believe, 6 months over there preaching and whatever else. And he had a daughter, his wife had died earlier, and he had a little six-year-old daughter on board. When the call came, he went to one of the people that were putting people on the lifeboat, and he handed over her daughter, because he loved her, to go on the lifeboat. She lived through it, and she found the same faith that her father had. That's life. That's life. That's loving the person. Meanwhile, John let her go, and he went around the deck. Early in the evening, he was out witnessing to people on the deck or different places, but getting right with God before he even knew the boat was sinking. But that was his heartbeat, that he could get to people, that they would realize that the wealth and everything on this ship is nothing when you face eternity. And you know, he was witnessing to different people, and finally a call came. And he took over in some of the areas there. He said, "Ladies and women, or ladies and children, onto the life rafts." And then he said, "Those that are unsaved, get on the life raft. If you're saved, you may go down." But you also have that eternal promise within to be forever with the Lord. The saved people, the unsaved ones, maybe through this experience could come to know Jesus Christ. That's a missionary right to the end. Yes, it is. Do you love people like that tonight? Do you? Would you do that for those around you? Yes. Harper loved his daughter, and he loved the unsaved, and he loved his God. Harper took off his life jacket and he gave it to another. Yes. Into the boats, you know. While the band on board switched from their worldly dance music to "Nearer, My God, to Thee." Why would you need to switch tonight, dear people, the music? But I want to encourage you, to remind you, there are only two kinds of music when it boils down to it. One that gives honor and praise to an awesome God, or one that lifts up self in the world. That's right. And you have to know what you're listening to tonight. Is it glorifying God or not? If it isn't, you already know it's wrong. So this was getting more serious as the time went on here. There are only two kinds of music. And at 2:20 on April the 15th, early in the morning, the boat broke in two amidst the most awfulest wail as people sank into the waters. Eva Hart, an hour away from us, she was a survivor. And she said, as she was interviewed in later years, she said, she hopes she never has to see, hear the wail of humanity without God, sinking deeper and deeper into the waters. John Harper, as he was in the water, he was hanging on to something. And he drifted together to another person. I believe the other man was from Hamilton, city an hour away from us. And John Harper said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And he drifted apart. He asked them, "Are you saved?" And the man said, "No." And they drifted back together again. John Harper again said, this was icy cold water, friends. This was not a pool they're playing in. And he called out to him again. He said, "Are you saved?" And he repeated that verse, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That man believed. And he was the last convert, John Harper. He was rescued, came back to tell the story. John Harper went under. There's an older preacher that was also in the water there and floundering around, hanging on to this, and he also called, "Trust in Jesus as your Savior," he called out. And then he went down, he said, "I'm going down." Went under, came back up. And he said, "No, I'm going up." His body went down. His spirit went up. It was a departure. What a blessed hope for those that are right with God. In Liverpool, England, as the news came back where the ship left from, people were gathering at the yard there to find out for our loved ones where they're at. And they put up a huge sign, "No one to be saved and no one to be lost." And every once in a while, they got a call again, and the people were watching. Where would that name appear? No one to be saved or no one to be lost? Why didn't they have more signs up? Because there are only two destinies, friends, tonight. No one to be saved or no one to be lost. There it was. There it was. And the majority of the people on the ship were lost. Yeah. The Bible speaks tonight of two ways. The Bible says there's a broad way, and the Bible says there's a narrow way. There are few walk upon. Because it's not the easy life. It's the best life, but it's not the easy life. Because over here, you can be on a big ship and you can keep on sailing. So they think. Known to be lost, known to be saved. Those are two categories. And that's still the signs that are up today. Known to be saved and known to be lost. And so it is tonight, where would your name appear if this ship would be going down? Yeah. Very sobering. Yeah. It's only one or the other. Shall we pray?